You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Rejoice, the Lord is Coming. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
20 years ago, a United Press survey reported that the typical American male was 27 years old. The report went on to state that the typical American male does not read even one book a year. He is materialistic. He is unsatisfied with small pleasures. And he is bored with any kind of theological disputation. This means that the average young man in America 20 years ago was simply not interested in discussing the basic doctrines or teachings of the Bible. This same gentleman, says the report, may attend church 27 times a year. However, he is not interested in the supernatural. He is concerned neither with heaven nor with hell. In fact, he has no interest whatsoever in immortality. That is, the question of where he would go if he were suddenly killed. According to the United Press survey, the principal interests of the average young man 20 years ago were football, hunting, fishing, and car tinkering. This blunt evaluation may indeed be 2 decades old. However, in observing our present society in 1997, it seems that over the past 2 decades, very little has changed. To be honest, however, we must admit that in recent years, the Gallup poll has reported an increase in spirituality and religiosity throughout our entire society. Yet even secular magazines and newspapers reveal a deeply disturbing trend. Countless people are now talking about religion with their lips, but their lives remain basically secular. The day-to-day life of many of those who now call themselves Christian evidences no serious concern for God, little love for their fellow man, crass indifference for the return of Jesus Christ, and very little concern for the biblical teaching of Judgment Day. This is indeed shocking, because if there is one thing that the Bible teaches very, very clearly and urgently, it is the return of Jesus and the Day of Judgment. Today we will focus on the biblical teaching of the return of Jesus Christ, the Day of Judgment, and the urgent and life and death meaning that this Bible teaching is saying to you and to me. But before we do, let's listen closely to the word Jesus spoke describing His sudden second coming. Jesus said that when He returns, there will be a great wedding feast, a celebration, and this will occur when our blessed Savior returns to take His bride, the church, His loyal followers, to be with Him in paradise forever. Oh, there will be rejoicing and singing that will never end. But there is also one very sad part in this parable of Jesus, and that is this. Those who have not set their spiritual lives in order, the Bible explains, those who have not prepared to receive Christ when He returns, they will be shut out forever from God's glorious and joy-filled kingdom. Let me read now how Jesus explains this in the Bible. Jesus said, "In those days the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids, or 10 virgins. These bridesmaids took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were sensible, and 5 were foolish. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise bridesmaids, however, brought both their lamps and the oil that they needed." Then the Bible explains, it took such a very long time for the bridegroom to arrive. Consequently, the bridesmaids all grew drowsy, and they fell asleep. Suddenly, however, in the middle of the night, there came a shout, "Wake up! Wake up! Here comes the bridegroom! Go out to meet him!" Then the Bible says, all the bridesmaids got up, both the wise and the foolish, and attended to their lamps. The foolish ones, however, had to say to the wise virgins, "Please, Please give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "Oh, no," replied the wise virgins. "There might not be enough for all of us." "It would be better," they said to the foolish virgins, "if you went to the store to buy oil for yourselves." So the Bible explains the foolish virgins went to the store to buy the oil. While they were gone, however, the bridegroom arrived. Then the Bible explains Christ took into the celebration those who were prepared to meet him. They went in to celebrate, the Bible explains, and the door was shut behind them. After a while, the foolish virgins arrived at the celebration. "Oh, please," they said, "please, sir, open the door for us." They begged and they begged, but the bridegroom replied, "I tell you, I don't know you." The Bible then warns all of us, even today, be on the alert, for you do not know the day or the time that Jesus will return. The message of Christ's parable is clear. We are to live every day as if Christ were to return any moment. Our spiritual life needs always to be in order. To many of us in 1997, this story that Jesus told about the wise and the foolish bridesmaids may indeed be very interesting. However, it may not stir our hearts. Jesus' words of warning and invitation may not prick our conscience as Christ hopes it would. And regarding the matter of Judgment Day, maybe even you. Yes, maybe even you have probably heard about Judgment Day, but it is not something that greatly concerns you. And maybe you believe there is always going to be a second chance. We get to think that way, you know, because nothing ever seems to be final in our court system. Nowadays, we read about people in court who keep going from one appeal to the next, and then to the next, and even to the next. The Bible says that when you and I come before God's bar of justice, there will be no appeal. There will be no second chance. On the day of judgment, the door to heaven will be forever shut, as Jesus said. In the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, we read, "Inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment." Now, maybe for you, it is not that these words of Jesus are unimportant. Maybe you and I are simply too busy to have the time to take Jesus' words seriously. We are busy watching television, getting the children to sports activities, remodeling the house, washing the car, running errands, buying groceries, working on the lawn, taking vacations, telephoning friends, checking the internet, rushing off to scout activities, preparing for family get-togethers, working on our hobbies, and 1,000 other activities. Now, none of these activities I just listed is wrong in itself. In fact, many are God-pleasing. However, just as Jesus told Mary, there are so many activities in life that we are faced with today, and yet there is really only one activity that truly matters. Of all the things that you and I can be busy with, the most important thing is to listen to the Lord as He graciously and lovingly speaks to us in His Word. In His holy word, God tells us how He hates sin and how He condemns sin. He also tells us how through His bloody death on the cross, His Son Jesus has paid the price for your sins and mine. He Himself, the Bible says, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. In this is love, the Bible tells us, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids is a gracious warning for all of us to make sure that you and I have our spiritual house in order, and so that when Jesus Christ returns, we are not shut out forever. The day and hour of Christ's return as a judge of this world is known by no man. The Bible tells us that the final day of judgment will come as a thief in the night. Now let's be very clear. In all this warning, there is also good news. Through this same parable, your gracious Heavenly Father is inviting you to escape the curse and the judgment that the Bible says you deserve for all of your sins and failures. Indeed, in His grace and through Jesus Christ, God is graciously inviting you to spend eternity with Him in paradise forever, celebrating with Jesus the bridegroom at the great wedding feast. Oh, my friend, what an invitation this is. What an invitation this is, and what a miracle that God should be so kind to you and me. You see, neither you or I deserve this. While we were yet sinners, the Bible explains, Christ died for us. Let us never be indifferent to the love of God, the Apostle Paul writes. Or do you think lightly of God's kindness and His forbearance and His patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? So then today, look around you. Consider how our society is unraveling and coming apart. Jesus said that this breakdown of society would be one of the signs of the end of the world and of His sudden return. In 2 Timothy, we read that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, of course, as you see this fragmentation of society, and as the devil tempts you to become down and discouraged, don't be defeated. Instead, take the high road, the road that God is now offering you. Let your mind and soul dwell not on the fear of the day of judgment, but on the glorious things that God will offer all of Christ's followers on that great day. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the sufferings of the present world are not to be compared to the glories that will be experienced by all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and those who look forward to His return. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John describes what that day of Christ's return will be like for all the followers of our blessed Savior. And I saw a new heaven, he writes, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away, the Bible says. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Then He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Oh, indeed, it is so difficult to imagine that anyone would remain indifferent to this beautiful scene of paradise. This is why the parable of Jesus is so direct and so blunt. Tragically, however, even some who have been jolted into sudden awareness that we don't live forever and that we need to prepare, even they, in their sincere search, are sadly misled. Several years ago, for example, a lady wrote to a columnist in the Detroit Free Press. She said that her doctor had recently informed her that she had cancer and that she had only a short time to live. And yet, when this same lady, hanging between life and death with malignant cancer, asked the newspaper columnist what to do, this is the advice she received. Go on with living. Don't think about dying. Be busy with other things. Oh, how sad this must have been. What a wonderful thing it would have been if this dying lady could have heard about the love of God and the grace of God. Rather than living in fear of facing Christ as judge through repentance and faith, this lady could have looked forward with eagerness and joy to see Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And so then the way that you and I think about the return of Jesus Christ may be compared to the way we see a local policeman in two different situations. If we have been caught speeding, or if we have been involved in some other traffic violation, and we look in the rear view mirror and we see red lights blinking, then we are suddenly filled with anxiety and sometimes even fear. We know that the consequences are not going to be good. At the same time, when we are in trouble and we need help, we can see this same police officer as one who will bring us help, great hope, and joy. This is the way it is with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I know that He is going to confront us with our sins, then we had better fear Him. However, if we realize that Christ has died for our sins on the cross, and that he has paid fully for the consequences of all of our sins, then you and I can look forward to meeting him with great joy and excitement. Dear friend, do it today. Confess your sins and failures to God. Trust totally in the sin-atoning blood of Jesus. His name is Jesus, the angel said, for he will save you from your sins. And then with great joy, look forward to Jesus' return to take you to be with him forever at the great wedding celebration in paradise. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.